The Walking Dead Season 6, Episode 14, Twice as Far, is over, but we're just getting started here in The Walking Dead Book Club, the return of The Walking Dead Book Club after a little tiny bit of a hiatus. Hello, everybody. I'm Josh Wigler. I am joined here by my co-host, Jessica Lees, and we are both going to try to finish all of our sentences tonight, no matter how many arrows go through our faces.
That's true. I know how to take an arrow to the face and, you know, keep on trucking.
It's a complicated thing how you choose to live with that and move forward. It really is disruptive to your life.
Yeah, I thought the best comment about the arrow to the face, they brought it up on Talking Dead. Someone tweeted, maybe Carl can have that other eye.
Well, that eye is, the eye that survived. It's going to be it would have been easy because they just gouged it out. So it's like, you know, it saves you some work. But I've assumed that most of it was mangled. Yeah, maybe. But who's around to do the transplant?
Yeah, no kidding. I'm going to have to go all the way to the hilltop to see a doctor now.
Yeah, it's a real pain in the butt and also in the eye, everything that happened in this week's episode of Walking Dead. So if this is your first time listening to the Walking Dead Book Club, here is our requisite spoiler alert. We are talking about Walking Dead. We're talking about the show from the perspective of people who have also read the comics. We compare and contrast things from the comics with what's going on the show. Sometimes things match up perfectly. Sometimes things don't match up at all. Sometimes things are vaguely familiar from what happens in the comics, but anything that happens in the comics is fair game to discuss here, and a lot of that stuff very well may end up on the show perhaps very soon, or at least in some version of the thing that we're going to talk about. So if you are spoiler averse, walk away now, shut it down, wait for the feedback show, go listen to the live show again. Otherwise, if you don't mind the spoilers, or if you have read the comics, stick around. We're going to talk about a lot of stuff, because this was definitely, Jess, an episode that we can talk about from the comic perspective for a lot of good, bad, bad, ugly reasons. I don't know. What's your take on this episode?
I thought it was super comic-tastic, but I think it also, I feel like everything that happened this episode was just a big glaring letter to all of the comic readers. And it says, you know, you can't assume you know what's going to happen next. It's like, we're going to take the visuals from the comic, but we're just going to do shit differently for no reason whatsoever, except to make sure that you guys, the comic readers, aren't as smart as you think you are.
Right, yeah. I feel like the show does that sometimes. I feel like the show does that for that reason sometimes. It's like, oh, you think that Tyrese gets his head chopped off by the governor? Surprise! It's somebody else. You know, I feel like they do that. You think that Carl is going to come along and save Rick from Shane? Surprise! Rick is going to knife his own best friend. You think that Lori is going to die somewhere probably mid-season 4 when the governor comes and takes over the prison? Nope, she'll die before Rick ever meets the governor. So the show really does, I think, like to do that. I don't know if it's always just as a gotcha type of thing, but I think in this case, it really did feel like a bit of a gotcha.
Yeah, it sure did, and I'm kind of divided. I feel like I'm Vizzini with the Iocane powder. Like, what does this mean for the finale?
Right. We need to build up an immunity is what you're saying.
Yeah, we definitely do. Uh-huh. And we need to never get in a land war in Asia.
Yeah. Yeah, never mess with the Sicilian when death is on the line. I hope Negan is not Sicilian.
Yeah, I hope not.
It's not impossible. But if you don't know what we're talking about the death of Denise. Dr. Denise dies in this episode in Twice as Far. She is having a passionate conversation, a passionate monologue that she is issuing to Daryl Dixon and to Rosita, talking about finding bravery, finding courage, finding love in the world. And she feels like she is stage 2 or getting close to stage 2, as Eugene might say. And just as her monologue is reaching its climax, she gets shot in the back of the head with an arrow that we find out is indeed an arrow from Daryl Dixon's crossbow, which we had talked about a couple weeks ago, so that's pretty neat. And it's a big moment. It's a shocking moment. It is a moment that is from the comics, except that it happens to someone else in the comics. It happens to poor Abraham Ford in the comics. And a lot of other things about this episode really, I don't know about you, but I definitely throughout this episode was thinking, oh wow, so we are absolutely at the Abraham Ford death episode.
That was exactly my thought. And in fact, I was there was one reason and one reason only that I was disappointed we didn't do Walking Dead Book Club last week. And it wasn't because I wanted to talk about anything that happened last week, because none of that was in the comics. It was because there was one shot in the preview that showed Eugene and Abraham clearly not in Alexandria.
Yep.
And I'm thinking, oh my God, they left Alexandria to go look at the munitions factory. And that means Abraham's getting his death scene and we're getting the Eugene nut biting. And, that was 50% correct.
Yeah, we were close. I mean, we got the part that really mattered, I think. So did Eugene. Eugene also got that part.
Definitely, that part really mattered.
Yeah. But I agree. It would have been nice to have planted that, you know, gotten the chance to plant that flag. But it's not Abraham. We would have been wrong. It's Denise. It is a total surprise to me. There's so much about this episode that really does lead you to believe that, because in the comics, Abraham dies, and I believe it's Walking Dead 98. It's around 97, 98, somewhere in that range. And it happens while Eugene and Abraham, they're leaving Alexandria. They're going out there looking for the munitions factory that Eugene wants to set up to start making bullets. All of that is playing out exactly as is on the show for the most part. They get into their fight and they separate on the show. There's nothing like that in the comic. It really is just like a stroll through the streets and blam, out of nowhere, a crossbow bolt just goes through the back of Abraham's head. But so much was so similar throughout this episode up until the Denise thing happened that I was so sure. I was so sure that we were about to lose Abraham.
Yeah, I was too. And this now makes me wonder, does Abraham now have plot armor for a while, or are they just kind of grooming him to die very soon for some other reason?
This was a question we got from Derek Blaze. Derek Blaze had written in and wanted to know about the lifespan of Abraham on the show. This is what Derek wrote. I wanted to ask what you think the lifespan of Abraham will be on the show. I thought for sure he was dying this episode when I saw him and Eugene together, but instead they gave his death to Denise. It's interesting and makes me wonder if this will be the new thing on the show to keep switching the character deaths, such as Herschel getting Tyrese's death. Do you think the show will continue to switch deaths on comic book readers? The death makes me feel a lot more confident that Glenn will not meet Lucille in the show. So let's take it from that level now. Like, how much of a game changer do you think this is? You know, taking Abraham aside for a second, the fact that Abraham does not meet his iconic fate from the comics in the show, unless he's going to get like another stray crossbow bolt to the face, but I feel like that moment has played. What do you think? Is this a big game changer in terms of what we should expect from deaths moving forward, or do you feel like this is just another instance of more of the same?
Well, you know, it is a pattern that we've observed now, and some of that is like they decide not to keep actors around and they want to keep other actors, I guess. This might explain, you know, we get rid of the actor that plays Dale and we give his very epic death to Bob, who's right. Not really a character in the comics. I mean, technically there is a Bob, but you know, whatever.
He's like a blink and you'll miss it, Bob.
Basically. I'm like, that's Bob.
He's a great character in the prose books. I don't know if you've gotten that far down the Walking Dead rabbit hole. But there's a couple of like Governor prequels called The Road to Woodbury and The Rise of the Governor and stuff. And they're co-written by Kirkman and a guy named Jay Bonansinga, who's a really fun writer. And Bob from Woodbury, the Bob of the comics, is a really super prominent character, at least in the second one, I think. And he's a pretty fun guy. He's a wicked drunk. The alcoholism they allude to on the show with Bob, played by Lawrence Gilliard, it pales in comparison to just like the rip-roaringly drunk Bob of the book.
That sounds like a lot of fun, but, you know, I still have gone out on an occasional Saturday night in recent memory.
Well, if you ever find yourself bored on a Saturday night with nothing to do, pick up the book. It's actually pretty good.
I'll keep it in mind. It sounds like a lot of fun, and it is, you know, I am one of those people that, you know, if there's something else that tells some element of the story that I don't know yet, I've got to find out what that is. And that's what led me to the comics in the first place.
Yeah, no, it's good stuff. It's worth getting into. But to your point, they have given like these other epic deaths to other characters in the past. It's definitely a pattern we've gotten. But I do think that there was just this feeling that the Abraham thing had to happen. And we were wrong.
Yeah, it was. And it's kind of amazing. I don't know, honestly, if we're being set up to, like, maybe Abraham's going to get Glenn's death. Like, that's why I picked him first in the Negan draft.
It's a good pick right now. It looks pretty good. But it's interesting because it's such a mind screw right? Because,
yeah.
like, did the show not kill Abraham because they've got a lot more to do with Abraham because they really love the character and they're not finished telling stories with that character on the show? Did they do that to fake us out with the Glenn thing to make us, you know, think that, okay, now somebody other than Glenn has to die? Maybe Abraham is the guy that they are going to put in that position. Or is it to get us feeling, like, weirdly complacent so that when it is Glenn, we're going to get shocked? So, like, you could see them going in every possible direction at this point.
Yeah, it really does kind of blow the field of possibilities wide open. Although I will say that there are repercussions for Denise being the person that dies at this point that, you know, we haven't quite gotten to yet. But I think that particular character dying at that particular moment definitely points the way to a Glenn death as well.
Interesting. How so?
Because Denise is the only doctor left in Alexandria.
Yes.
And we just met the Hilltop's doctor, who happens to be an OBGYN. I have to think, we go back to Alexandria next week, and Glenn and Maggie are like, oh crap, our one doctor is dead. Now we have no doctors and a baby on the way. What are we going to do? The only thing we can do to make sure the baby's going to be okay and that everything's going to be as healthy as possible is we got to move to the Hilltop.
Yeah. This is something that was tweeted our way by Karen Shee, who had said, will Denise's death propel Glaggy's move to the Hilltop? Sounds like you're on board with that.
Yeah, I'm totally on board with that. I mean, I think no matter who gets the business end of Lucille at the end of the season, which, I mean, we're in agreement that's got to be how we close out the season, right?
I mean, it's in the finale, 1,000,000%, yes. Whether or not that's the final scene of the finale, I'm not sold on. I think that there could be other business they could do, but it is the climax of the finale every single day of the week.
Yeah, yeah. So I think whatever happens in that moment, Glenn and Maggie are present at that moment, whether or not Glenn is the one that dies.
Yeah.
I think that's probably the impetus that spurs the caravan to be going to the Hilltop in the first place. And they run into actual Negan, and actual Negan kills somebody at that point. And Glenn and Maggie are the reason everybody's there.
Right. And it could be Glenn very easily.
Could be
Glenn, but Glenn has had a quiet couple of weeks. Like, he had nothing to do last week. Maggie was at the forefront of that storyline. He had nothing to do this week. And I know, like, the show doesn't owe us anything. The show doesn't owe us, like, a very super heavy Glenn episode before Glenn goes. And arguably, they've given us that in the first half of the season with Thank You, when they made it look like he died, and then when he wasn't dead, and we got to focus on him for a while there. But I would think that you would still get a little bit more Glenn than we've gotten recently. Granted, he did, you know, he had that big moment where he killed his first person. That was obviously huge, but it's just been so quiet in the immediate aftermath of that I feel like Glenn has to have a really big role in this upcoming episode, in episode 15, for me to really feel like, okay, yeah, we're probably going there. Not that it's not impossible, but that's something that I'm really going to be looking for next week. If Glenn has a really big story in 15, I'm going to be really nervous for the guy.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. If he, if all of a sudden we're seeing a ton of Glenn, then I think the writing's on the wall.
I think so too. But the Abraham thing, like, what happens with Abraham now? Abraham doesn't die here. Why do you think the show chose not to kill Abraham here ultimately? What do you think the show still has? Is it a matter of they really like Michael Cudlitz? Michael Cudlitz brings a lot of energy as Abraham. He's just a TV show character that really pops, and he's worth having on the show for a while longer. What do you think?
I think Michael Cudlitz is fantastic. I think he's one of the better performers on the show. But I think we've killed off a lot of really great performers. So I don't think that's necessarily it, but I think there's probably more story to tell, maybe with regard to the love triangle. Like, we've not seen a lot of Sasha this season. Like, maybe they need to develop Sasha a little bit more, and they need Abraham a little bit longer to develop her.
Right.
And another thing that struck me a little bit when I'm thinking about how the whole, like, various character death arcs play out in the Negan-Alexandria war in future episodes, there's a point where Abraham's girlfriend, or, you know, I guess, you know, ex-girlfriend at this point, because Abraham is an ex-Abraham at this point.
Holly.
yes, Holly, is captured by Negan and mistaken for Rick's girlfriend owing to the fact that they are kind of physically similar in appearance. And then Holly gets this terrible death where she's brought back ostensibly as a live captive, and it turns out she's a walker now and she kills Denise at that point.
Right.
So it's interesting then that there's no Holly on the show, but there are two black women on the show.
Right.
One of them is Rick's girlfriend and one of them is Abraham's girlfriend.
Right.
So are we setting up, like, long game wise, is Sasha getting killed off and turned into a walker next season?
Interesting. Interesting. And you're not alone in that theory as well. It's another thing that Karen Shee had thrown our way. She says, now that Abe and Sasha have moved forward, she puts in parentheses, contrived! she adds, do you think that Sasha will take Holly's demise, and will there be some sort of saviors confusing Michonne and Sasha? I had kind of forgotten about that. Man, the think pieces that will flow out of that one.
You just made it kind of racial if they do that.
Right. And, you know, this is a show that has been, you know, has had a kind of complex relationship with race, where the show has been, and I don't think unfairly, you know, people point that out, that the show has a serious track record of killing off people of color. That would be really kind of wild for Walking Dead to veer into that territory. But when you frame it that way, when you frame it as Sasha is kind of the Holly on the show, Sasha is Abraham's new main squeeze instead of Rosita. That's what happens to Abraham's girlfriend in the comics. You could see it, and it is because she's mistaken for looking like Andrea. You could see them going in that direction.
Yeah, you definitely could, and you could see them maybe not thinking about it as much as they should.
I don't know. Oh, man, that would be a really rough ending for Sasha.
It really would. She's been through so much.
That's a tough thing to do to someone that you know and love. And not, I mean, not everybody loves the Sasha character, but Sasha's been a very well-developed character, I think. I think she's been a really strongly characterized person on the show who has gone through a ridiculous amount of grief. She is, you know, the flesh and blood connection to Tyrese, who has a very large following from the comics, at least, if not from the show. To do that to Sasha would be such a brutal way to kill that character off. That, to me, just even thinking about that, would be one of the most brutal send-offs to a character, to a main character on this show, that I could possibly think of. I'm trying to think of what comes close to that. That would be really gnarly.
Yeah, it's true. Like, Holly did not get this much character development.
Right.
Like, basically, Holly's entire character was that she banged Abraham behind Rosita's back.
Right. Yeah, pretty much. And it was a fun twist in that way, because it wasn't someone that you were super invested in. I wonder how that plays if it's somebody you're super invested in.
Yeah, for a horrible minute, you see that hooded figure and you're thinking, what if that's Andrea?
Right.
And it wasn't.
It was not. But Abraham is now, you know, he's now past his expiration point, so he joins the ever-growing list of people who we cannot possibly predict what happens to them with any level of accuracy. You know, maybe we have some ideas and some suggestions for where he could possibly go, but the sky is really the limit for him. He could last another 2 episodes, or he could make it into season 7. What do you prefer? Do you prefer the idea of Abraham, you know, dying at the hands or at the baseball bat of Negan, or do you like the idea of Abraham living long enough to at least make it to All Out War?
I think having Abraham around changes the tone of All Out War significantly. Like, I think having him around is going to be a pretty big advantage, I got to think.
He lives for this. This is his thing.
Yeah, that's his thing. He's like, he loves the smell of napalm in the morning.
Yeah, he
does.
Abraham. Yeah.
So I would love to see him in his element there, and I think it can't hurt. But, you know, at the same time, it's like there are a lot of characters that I think, or there's one character in particular I think had a chance to bloom without Abraham. And I wonder what it means for Eugene if we keep Abraham around indefinitely.
Right. How do you think that impacts Eugene if Abraham is sticking around? Because you think that Eugene kind of really does activate in stage 2 without Abraham being around?
Yeah, I think that's a defining moment for Eugene, is losing Abraham. And even, like, it even kind of spurs the nut biting in the comics.
Right.
Like, he goes for the guy's junk, and it's like he's got his crafty mind, and he's not afraid to go on the offensive. And I think after that point, like, I don't see Eugene making a play for Rosita if Abraham's still around.
Right.
I don't see him kind of, like, he seems so much more confident. And I'm not saying kill Abraham so Eugene can self-actualize, but...
Maybe?
I'm saying it means different things, and right. I think it means different things for the character.
Yeah.
Well, and I mean, that bromance is one of my favorite things about the show.
It's great. And, you know, the breakup between them, like the brief breakup between Abraham and Eugene in this episode was good, but it was also in the moment really upsetting because you're like, oh, that's the note that we're going to leave these people on. Like, they're not going to get a chance to make amends or anything. This guy's just going to tell Abraham off, and then Abraham's just going to get an arrow into an eye. And then presumably we're going to get a very mopey Eugene in the aftermath of that. So on that level, I was glad that at least as it stands, the bromance is intact. And I really did love when Abraham like leans into him. He goes, welcome to stage two. Eugene's like, I've been here for a while. So I feel like Eugene still has that in him. And I think that maybe now, you know, what could be interesting is Eugene kind of actualizes without Abraham in the comics. But on the show, maybe he can actualize alongside Abraham. And who knows what being around Abraham could do for Eugene. It could propel him even further down the path. Lord have mercy, stage three even could come up for Eugene if he gets to hang around Abraham long enough in this current state of mind.
Yeah, well, you know, if you have a strong warrior in your party, you are going to level up a lot faster.
Yeah. All right, well, you just brought out the role-playing reference for the first time in a little while. So let's take this question from Geek Furious, who wanted to know about the randomness of death. Geek Furious had written it and said, do you two think the writer's room has 20-sided dice for who dies illogically that week or just six? A little bit of a slight towards the writing on The Walking Dead, but I think it's a point worth exploring in terms of filling in, you know, the characters who die. Like, you know, when the show does do this mixtape approach, when they decide not to kill Abraham here, but to still use the iconic method of death and apply that to a different character, do you think with Denise, and there's a lot of, you know, there's a lot of different thoughts around Denise, and we'll dig into a bunch of it, but do you think that there was, did it feel too random to you? Do you feel like you see the logic behind why give Denise that particular death?
Well, I think I see the logic in giving Denise that death because it propels Glenn and Maggie to the hilltop. Like, I don't think it's as random and illogical as it might look on the surface.
Right.
So that's my answer, although I will agree that some of the deaths have seemed kind of pointless and stupid. But this one, I love Denise. I am sorry to see her go, but I see what it means for everybody else that she does.
I mean, it does really look bad on Daryl and Rosita that they let the doctor out, though.
Yeah, and I hope there are repercussions. Like, I can't imagine that Tara's going to be all that happy with them.
Right.
And I can't imagine, like, the next person who needs stitches is going to be all that happy about it.
Right.
So, you know, Eugene's lucky he didn't get hit any worse than he did. It sure seems like, you know, give him a Band-Aid and, like, let him have some fluids and he's fine.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Yeah, like, what if he's bleeding out there? He'd be totally screwed.
Right, yeah. So, I don't know. They got to figure out the doctor situation and everything like that. So, I feel like Daryl ought to at least get a talking to after all that. That was bad. And Daryl not knowing how to drive stick is also a confusing thing for me.
Yeah, that definitely scuttles my plans to have him as my partner on The Amazing Race.
Yeah, you would think that he'd be a lot more reliable than he is, but apparently not. I know that that's a topic that Rob is really looking forward to exploring on the feedback show. He was dumbfounded by this.
Yeah, well, you grew up in rural Georgia, you're gonna know how to drive sticks.
All the things that he can do, he's like a grease monkey. He's so good with the motorcycle, and he can't drive stick?
Maybe he can't. Maybe he's not good at driving anything with more than two wheels.
I guess it's possible. Let's get into this aspect of Denise's death. This was a very long comment from our Philly that touches on some sensitive subject matter that's going on right now, but it's worth at least discussing. Our Philly had written, "We know Abraham is the one to catch Dwight's arrow in the books. I was glad that the masterful wordsmith that is Abraham Ford was not taken from us on Sunday, but bummed to see Denise go. The issue of LGBT characters being killed on popular shows has been a major part of the zeitgeist recently. Knowing Josh wasn't thrilled with the choice to have Denise find that infamous arrow instead, I'm curious if you guys think Denise was a bad replacement because of her role as a prominent lesbian character. The show has been criticized in the past for the frequent deaths of African Americans. Is there a responsibility for the writers of such a prominent show to be careful how they handle characters who will inevitably become role models for marginalized groups like the LGBT community? Or would it be disingenuous, given the underlying theme that no one is ever safe in this world, and death can find anyone at any time? How can the show tell the best story and adapt the material so that book readers remain unsure of what's coming, all while trying to balance expectations from such a massive audience? Really artfully phrased by R. Philly on that, I thought. But it's definitely a conversation that's been happening, and not just because of Walking Dead. I'm not going to spoil any other shows, but there is another fan favorite show where a fan favorite character who happens to be a lesbian was recently killed off, and there was a huge uproar about that. So at the very best, this is unfortunate timing for The Walking Dead, and I've been seeing a lot of stories about this. Joanna Robinson had a great piece in Vanity Fair. Hollywood Reporter published something that was really good as well. What's your take on this, Jess? Do you have a stance on this whole thing?
Well, I think we got to be a little careful on this because, you know, nothing's more annoying than a couple of straight white people talking about minorities getting killed off on shows. But, you know, I think R. Philly puts it really well in articulating both sides of this.
Right.
Because on one hand, you don't want to go down that Christopher Nolan path of like fridging every girl to create character development for the men in the story.
Yeah, I'm trying to think now that you just put it on Nolan's shoulders. Like, is that a Nolan thing?
It's totally a Nolan thing.
Yeah, I guess it is.
And, like, it's why I don't really like his movies, because he tends to, like, underdevelop the female character and kind of place her in the story just to kill her off so that the hero has something to be upset about.
Right, sure.
So that's who I think of when I think about this kind of thing. And, yeah, it really does sort of relegate your minority characters and your LGBT characters to kind of like, we're the supporting character and our deaths exist to develop the other characters. And you have to be really careful not to do that. Like, the death has to mean something in a larger context, and it has to be a character that you really care about. So that also raises some interesting questions about the finale, because the person who is slated to die in the finale is a minority.
Exactly.
And are they going to go there? Or are they going to, you know, is it a safer bet to kill off somebody like Abraham?
Right.
Because then you're not like, let's look at all the people we've just killed recently. We've got, you know, we've got the lesbian and the Asian guy, and you know, look at all these white people still kicking around here.
Yeah, totally. And I think that's been one of the points about giving Abraham's death to Denise, is like, you know, there has been this mix and match approach in the past, but Denise got like the death of like the straightest, most alpha white guy in the Walking Dead universe.
Yeah, it's true. There really couldn't be two people more different.
Right.
And that's an interesting point too. Like, maybe from here on out, think of every major character death and like put their opposite number in that place.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. That could be the key to the equation.
We've got it all figured out.
Yeah. Yeah. I think so. I think, you know, one of the things that why I didn't really love that this is how it happens to Denise is I love the moment of an arrow going through the back of somebody's head and then that person continues to have their thought, like gets to finish their thought. It's so great and it's so kooky and it's so weird and goofy in the comics, but it has that, you can have all of those takeaways and also be shocked and surprised by it. In the comics, when it happens to Abraham, I feel like it's even the biggest tree in the forest can fall. You know, by like the slightest hack of an axe. That's kind of the feeling that you get in sort of that sort of randomness, is that this very unglorious, you know, this really sort of cheap way of going out just happens to the biggest man in the room, you know, the biggest muscle on the team, the person who loves to go out there and kill walkers and go to war and do all this stuff. I think that's one of the reasons why I really loved that particular death for a guy like Abraham. And for Denise, I didn't get any of the goofiness from it. It didn't feel fun. It only felt shocking. It only felt sickening. And I think that you've outlined some reasons why deaths, Denise. Why Denise's death? Why Denise's death is going to matter? And I think that that's really cool, and I think that that's important to key in on. But in terms of the way that she died, and not to say that like getting bit by a walker and like getting savaged by a walker or anything like that would be better, but that's more in line with the types of deaths that you expect on The Walking Dead. And the way that she died was jarring, and for me, not in the right way. And I'm not sure if that's because I love that death for a guy like Abraham, or if it's because I was expecting it to happen to Abraham, and so I'm still processing the shock. But that's kind of where I'm at with that right now. I'm actually pretty okay with Denise dying. She does die in the comics, but I'm not wild about that being the way they took Denise out.
Yeah, and it's also like, when you think about what characters are known for pontificating like that, and what characters would it make poetic sense for them to die in the middle of a rousing speech, like Denise is not on that list.
Yeah.
Like, that death makes less sense for that reason, too. Like, for Abraham to go out like that, that's him doing almost what he does best, and you miss that moment as well.
Yeah.
So And I think it's almost like,
especially coming from Michael Cudlitz, you know, he's had such a way with dialogue. He chews on every sentence like a big can of pinto beans, and he just, you know, he rocks it. He's so good. And him being in that position would have been spectacular. That being said, that's why you could also see, if Abraham were to get Lucille'd, that scene could be very different from the way it played out with Glenn in what could be a really incredibly cool way.
Yeah, I mean, that could be nasty and brutish and kind of underline the message that this can happen to anyone at any time and be really awful. And, you know, maybe Glenn looking at all those Polaroids of people getting Lucille'd before, maybe that's foreshadowing Glenn having to watch this.
Right.
So, yeah, I could see it. It could still be meaningful that way, too.
Yeah, I think so. I thought that this was interesting in Scott Gimple's interview. Scott Gimple, the showrunner of Walking Dead, he had an interview with Dalton Ross at EW this week, and they were talking about the finale and what Negan's entrance is going to be like. I thought this exchange was interesting to a lot of the topics that we've been covering about sort of the mix-and-match approach on Walking Dead in the show versus the comics. Dalton asked, obviously the big question is how closely you are going to stick to Negan's epic entrance in the comic book. I'm curious, in terms of the conversations you guys had in terms of approaching it, do we handle this faithfully? Do we do a remix and change it up? So I'm just curious, without knowing what the end result was, what those conversations were like in terms of mapping out all your options and the discussion of how important it is to keep this one faithful or surprise people by changing it up. And this is what Gimple says. Let me put it this way. Whatever it is, it's really just all in service to being faithful to the comic book in as much as one can. That's always going to be relatively subjective as to what that means. But taking inspiration from the moments of the comic book and playing them out to the ends of what it can be, it's all just like taking that moment from the book and figuring out a way to turn it up, to get those feelings that it gave you and those emotions that it gave you that much more. Sometimes we have things from the book that people who read the comics maybe see coming a mile away, and we try to adjust that so that we can give them the same feeling they had when reading the book, which might have been shock or surprise or fear or any of those things. It might be wildly different, but it's all to get the same sort of feeling that you got of surprise or fear or any of those things when you read them. So will it be different? Absolutely. Will it be the same thing? Absolutely. So much of the changes of what we do in the comic have to do with that. Sometimes things happen to completely different characters. It wasn't Lizzie who killed Mika. Carl was the one involved in that story when it was Billy and Ben, but I think we still got that same sort of emotion and horror that we got from the moment in the book. So we want to tell the story of the book, but from an emotional standpoint first, and that does often create the changes that we do. So he's talking about that in relation to the big Lucille moment that's going to be coming up, presumably in the finale, but I think we could apply it to the Abraham thing too. And I guess for me, you know, maybe the same emotions didn't quite register from the Denise switcheroo, but I appreciate the approach. Like, I appreciate the philosophy behind what they're doing, but at times I do wonder, is that, you know, trying to be sort of slavish to the comics in terms of the spirit of the comics, is that ever to the show's detriment?
Well, I love that they do that. I love that they think about how the comics made you feel and they try to make you feel that way again. Because that's something that I think many other shows that I have watched that are based on book series maybe don't do that quite as well.
Right.
So I think it's fantastic. And I will say that, you know, I didn't know the Abraham death was coming in the comics. And I was shocked when it happened. I kind of jumped a little bit. And I did have that same exact visceral reaction to Denise's death in the show this week. Obviously, I didn't have the same kind of emotional fallout that, you know, when we get into talking about this a little bit deeper, you know, that was a little bit different, but the initial reaction was the same.
Yeah.
And I appreciate that they try to do that. And I like that they're thinking consciously about not spoiling, you know, people that already know what happened in the comics don't know what's happening in the show. And I think that gives us so much to chew on here.
All right.
And I love that too.
Yeah. Well, speaking of chewing stuff.
Nice segue.
Right. Well, you set me up. I appreciate it, Jess. So the Eugene thing, you know, in terms of faithfulness in, you know, between the comics and the show, that was like, that was one of those things where they have this moment from the comic that they can use on the show and they can ignore stuff from the comics. You know, they can, you know, they don't have to do the serial killer storyline in the prison, which was just weird. You know, they can ignore a lot of that stuff, but you can't ignore Eugene chomping on Dwight's little arrow.
Yeah, it's true. Although I will note that I thought that in the comic, it was really more of an undercarriage kind of chomping.
Yes.
And this was full frontal in the show.
It seemed like it, right?
Like, maybe it's just because that was, you know, that was the angle he was at, and you needed that for the camera angle to work, or maybe it was just, like, safer for the actor. I'm not really sure, but I loved the detail that they went into on Talking Dead about how they set that up. It was pretty funny.
Yeah, they did a really good job with that, I thought. It was a real, you know, especially after having just lost Denise right, you know, right before we'd gone to commercial, and now we're back, and, you know, the stakes are so high, and that's just how Eugene decides to escalate the situation. I thought that they played it really, really well. I have so many questions and confusions about the mechanics of how it all happened. In the books, are there long-term ramifications of this? Is Dwight okay? Do we ever revisit the issue of Dwight's groin injury?
I don't think he really ever wants to talk about it very much.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Pay attention to the scar on my face. Let's talk about that.
Yeah. It seems kind of like, you know, he has many scars to contend with, and maybe some of the deeper scars are things he prefers not to bring up.
Yeah, it's a very sensitive subject.
Yeah.
Especially right now.
Yeah.
This was
and,
from
you know, his wife got co-opted by Negan, so we're
That's
never
right.
going to know.
That's right. It's true. From Linus Wesley, Linus had written in, "How do you guys think Dwight on the show compares to Dwight in the comic? I'm not impressed so far. I think on paper he reads more like a bizarro version of Daryl, which makes him enigmatic and interesting, but his portrayal on the show is more of a redneck Tyson Apostle dude. Do you think this guy will stick around for as long as the comic version of the character has?" What's your immediate take on that, Jess?
Well, I think I could definitely see him having the same role as in the comics where, you know, they talk about him a lot, but he's on screen, like, we see him maybe once a season, like, oh, look, there's the saviors. Hi, Dwight. Here's some stuff. Give us some stuff. We're trading now. I think we've done a good enough job of setting up this character as someone who's complicated enough that we're not just going to be like, well, he's a bastard because he hangs out with Negan. And I liked the introduction we got of him, and there's already so much going on there that I can definitely see this character being around for a long time. Like, for instance, he's got the iron burn.
Yeah.
He didn't have the iron burn before, and there's, you know, we can, if we have read the comics, we can extrapolate that he was fleeing from Negan the first time we met him, and then he decided to go back, and he took his licks, and clearly he got ironed after he came back to Negan.
Right.
So I think that's already setting up this really rich backstory for Dwight that isn't somebody that we're just going to take out once we get bored with him.
Yeah. Here's where I think I stand in terms of Dwight's legs on the show. I like Dwight so far on the show. I think I like the Dwight of the comics a little bit more, and I think that he is a little bit, I don't know, he's just a little bit more of a cartoony character in the comics, and I guess for Dwight, I do kind of like that. But I did like the backstory, especially in retrospect, and I like the way that he comes back here and is, you know, really fired up in Team Negan all the way here. So I think that there's things that they're doing with Dwight on the show that are working for me right now. I think what's going to determine how far Dwight goes on the show, if he has the legs that he has in the comics, where he is, you know, a main character in the comics at this point. He is, you know, when you think about who are the quote-unquote series regulars of The Walking Dead comics, Dwight is definitely, you know, he's part of that main cast. He's not a guest star. He's definitely part of the book at this point. I don't know if we'll get there on the show with Dwight, just because it's such a big cast on the show already, and I could see Daryl Dixon taking on a lot of the stuff that Dwight does. You and I have talked about, like, what is the Daryl factor in terms of where we're going forward in the story? How does Daryl fit into All Out War? How does Daryl fit into all this stuff? And that's a big reason why he could be considered a candidate for the Lucille thing. I think that, you know, given that Daryl has been juxtaposed so closely against Dwight, that they had this face-off earlier in the season, they have this face-off in this episode, and maybe some sort of continued relationship between the two, whether it's a rivalry or some coming to terms with each other if Dwight does flip on Negan, you could see those two characters getting closer together. You could see Dwight dying at some point during the war and sort of this reluctant leadership situation that Dwight eventually has over the Saviors after the war. I could see that going to Daryl.
Oh, that's really interesting. That, especially if we think about, like, what happens to all the characters, they kind of have this sort of diaspora after the war.
Right.
Where you have Maggie's leading the Hilltop, and Rick's still in Alexandria. Michonne is off being a pirate.
Yes. Which they still better do, unless it's Daryl the pirate, which would also be cool.
Ooh, Dread Pirate Daryl. I'm into it.
That would be good, too.
Yeah, I could be into that. But, yeah, it is kind of neat if we just have, like, if we have all these different camps, and we have one of our core, like, Scooby gang at each one of these camps, that's really interesting.
Yeah, and I think that there's plot reasons to see Daryl there, just because of the way that he's been positioned against Dwight so far. So I think what would determine that for me is if Daryl is not Lucille'd, you know, if I lose the draft and Daryl makes it through this season, I think that I could see that being the direction that they would take him in. Because I think that really, The Walking Dead, if they're ever going to kill Daryl Dixon, I think that we're in that moment of we're about to find out if The Walking Dead is willing to kill Daryl. Because if they're ever going to do it, this would probably be the time for my money. And I think that if he doesn't die here, he's got, you know, he's here for the duration. And I think that you got to figure out what's unique, what's interesting, what's cool to do with him, and to put him in charge of a group like the Saviors really calls back to a lot of what Daryl has been through on the show so far. You know, you could talk about the Merle of it all, but the one that comes most readily to mind is like his experience with the Claimers, when he's hanging with Joe and the Claimers and like not feeling good with hanging with a bunch of grungy dudes and, you know, not really taking to that lifestyle at all. But that's obviously very reflected in his relationship with Merle, where he's the good brother and Merle has, you know, been the bad influence, and he's come from this bad home. Can Daryl get himself into a place where he could be in charge of, you know, sort of rehabilitating a group of people who were under the thumb of a maniac? So I think that could be a really cool way for Daryl to go if the show feels like they, obviously, if they want to keep Daryl around, and if Dwight just doesn't quite pop the way that he does in the comics, I think that you've got somebody here in Daryl that would really fit. It would also be interesting because when Dwight was getting teased in the comics, there was some teaser art of a guy in the run-up to issue 100 of a character on a cover with a crossbow, and people were like, oh shit, Daryl Dixon's coming to The Walking Dead, it's happening, and it wasn't him, but for there to be sort of this you know, spiritual connection between the comic and the show between Daryl and Dwight, I think that could be really interesting stuff to explore.
Yeah, but if you put Daryl in charge of a community, then there's nobody over his head that's ever going to force him to take a shower.
I know. Well, they'll save a lot of water.
I guess so.
I think that's got to be valuable.
Yeah, maybe, but I mean, geez, man.
That being said, Dread Pirate Daryl is such a good idea.
It is really a fantastic idea. And, like, I think maybe if Norman Reedus is bored with Walking Dead at that point, you know, Fear the Walking Dead's not going to be around. Why don't we do another Walking Dead spinoff and just let it be Dread Pirate Daryl?
Well, Fear the Walking Dead is on the water right now. So
yeah.
You could have Dread Pirate Daryl sail over to Fear the Walking Dead and just conquer that show and make it so much better.
Oh, my God. Yeah, you're brilliant.
It would
that
be good.
That needs to happen, yeah.
That'd be good. What else is there that we should talk about from this episode? Carol disappears. What's going to happen to Carol?
I wonder if, like, I hate the way that this is set up, because this is like the third time now that Carol has been setting up to flee everybody and to, like, make a big grand exit. And she finally does it, and you have to think she's going to come back yet again and repeat this same exact beat where everybody looks like they're totally toast.
Right.
And then Carol swoops in and kills every bad guy in the place and saves everybody. And it's like, we've seen that already, and I loved it when it happened, but do we need it again?
Yeah, so that was Rob's position during the live show. And I gotta say, like, I'm just down for any time that Carol wants to single-handedly take out a big group of bad guys. I'm good with it. I think that it's always so awesome when Carol is just in Terminator mode, and I wouldn't have a problem with Carol the Terminator rising her head again. I while fully acknowledging that it would be wildly repetitive, but I feel like I would forgive the repetition in this case.
Yeah, but she's also apparently going full Morgan at this point.
Yeah.
And it's like, yeah, I know I killed all of these people that probably every single one of them would have murdered everybody if I hadn't killed them, but I still feel kind of bad about it. I'm going to not do it anymore.
Yeah. Tim Haberlin had written in and said, with Carol no longer capable of killing, is there anything left for her except a date with Lucille?
Oh, I don't think Carol's getting Lucille, but I do think she's going to run into Negan if she's out by herself on the road.
We've talked about the spear wife thing. Like, is she going to be one of Negan's cohorts? Is she going to get sucked into there? And is she going to be able to play that role? There's nobody who is alive from her experience in the same boat to tell on her. You know, she would be able to go in with a completely cold reputation.
That's true. Yeah, I could see that. Definitely being something that happens. She's definitely, we've not seen the last of Carol, and I think having a spy on the inside in some fashion is probably the way we're going, just so that we can see the inside of Negan. And right. We're not, especially if we're not going to get the thing where, like, Carl stows away, because it would be kind of ridiculous because that kid's 23 years old at this point.
Right.
Like, 8-year-old Carl, that made sense, but this Carl, it does not.
Well, I still feel like we got to get Carl into the Savior's compound at some point. I feel like that's just, like, to have that tension between Negan and Rick, I think, is kind of necessary. But I think that it won't be, I don't know, maybe it'll be, it might be even more angsty because he's an adolescent at this point, because he's, like, an 18-year-old dude. It might be even more insufferable in a way.
Yeah, but I don't think it'll be as simple as, you know, I decided I'm going to save everybody.
Right.
I'm going to be 8 years old with an Uzi.
Right.
And I think it's like, Carl, you're 38 years old now.
He just, you know, aged so much in the course of a conversation.
You can be reasoned with now.
He's like so. Jack. He's like Robin Williams and Jack.
He totally is.
Oh, my God. The only person in the world who is older than Carl on The Walking Dead is Bran on Game of Thrones. That's it. The two oldest people living today. But if Carol is somehow, if she's in the Savior's compound and then Carl were to show up and you could, like, see those two teaming up. So there could be something that could be fun. I don't know. That's way ahead of ourselves. So do you think that we'll see Carol again this season, or do you think that Carol is done for the season?
She might be done for the season. We got a lot of ground to cover in just two episodes. And I think they want us to kind of maybe forget that she's out there somehow. And, like, maybe the beginning of the next season is Carol, like, moving into her new digs in Neganville. And, you know, at some point then, you know, maybe Carl's over there too, and then Rick shows up and he yells out, Carl! And you don't know who he's talking to?
Because it's either Carol or Carl.
Yes.
Yeah. I would love that. That would be a dream come true. I feel like we haven't ever been in that situation where he could be calling to either one of them, and I desperately want it to happen now.
And they could introduce a third character named Coral, and
oh,
it just
God.
Mess everybody up.
I would love it. I would be a fan. Endorsed. Yes. Endorsed. Let's wrap up. But first, you know, there was nothing comic booky to talk about in The Same Boat. But while we're on the topic of Carol, what was your take on that episode?
I thought it was a really strong and interesting moment for the women of the series. Like, I loved how much we got of Maggie that episode. And also, like, it definitely was, you know, we got the return of Badass Carol, which we always love. I did think at some points it was kind of heavy-handed. And I was like, why is this show, like, is the Negan gang so segregated? Uh-huh. Like, that doesn't make a lot of sense. I thought, you know, I'm not usually a big fan of Alicia Witt, but I thought she did a great job.
That's what I was saying.
Yeah, I loved it when she's getting her face chewed off and she's, like, chewing on the scenery.
Yeah.
It was just a bunch of chewing all around.
Yes.
I did feel like it was one of those kind of episodes where it felt like filler. Like, you could skip that whole episode and you wouldn't have really missed much. And I didn't really think that... You know, it felt like we got so much ground to cover between now and the end of the season. Why are we taking a rest to go hang out in a slaughterhouse with a bunch of people that are all going to die?
Right, right.
So that was my take on it.
I think that, you know, obviously whatever's coming up with Carol is really important. Or, you know, whatever she's going to put into motion by the fact that she is no longer in Alexandria. And the previews for next week tell us that Daryl is going to be on the move looking for her. And, you know, everyone wants to know what happened to Carol. I think that that could set up some interesting stuff. Did we need a full episode of basically a bottle episode of just Carol and Maggie going through what they're going through to get us to that place? I don't know if we needed that, but I think that that was probably why. I think that that was probably the thinking, and that's got to be good news for Carol fans, at least, that, you know, Carol was important enough to get that episode, and I think that that has to propel us into some pretty good places, or at least complicated places that will have room for Carol to still be around. You know, I was on Carol Death Watch. I was on high alert for a few episodes there, and I'm much more relaxed on that front. I really don't think that she's in trouble for the rest of the season.
No, I don't think so either, but it could be one of these, like, delayed things. Like, if we kill Glenn at the end of this season after we gave him his 6A moments, then I would be a little more worried for Carol in the front half of next season.
Oh, yeah. I mean, we talked about, could Sasha get the Holly thing? I could see some similar type of thing happening to Carol if they were to shake up the way that they did the Holly trap, you know, like sort of the Trojan horse type of thing. I could see if Carol wound up in the hands of Negan turning her against the Alexandrians or something awful. I could see Carol being in trouble as early as next season in that first batch of episodes. But I think that she's okay for now. I think that she's okay for the short term.
Yeah, I think so. I just hope nothing bad happens to Daryl while he's out looking for her.
Yeah, well, he will become a pirate and all will be well.
Yes. Now, okay, here's the question, though. If we move Daryl over to Fear the Walking Dead and he's the pirate and he takes everything over, do we want Carol along for the ride?
Yes.
The queen?
Yes. Oh, we do. God. We do, don't we? I mean,
we totally do.
The answer is a clear yes. But we need, like, who's going to be his crew? Like, who? So she's going to be on board. She's like the buttercup. So who's going to be the Andre the Giant? That could be Abraham, I guess.
Yeah.
And who's the Inigo Montoya? Jesus has long hair.
Yeah, or, you know, Morgan doesn't have anything better to do. Why don't we put Morgan on this show, too?
That would be good. I like that. Or we could just get Mandy Patinkin to leave Homeland and join Fear the Walking Dead.
I'd be down with that, too. Because we do need some new characters. You can't just, like, take half of a show and, like, split it.
Yeah.
You have to have, like, your Niles Crane and your Roz and your Martin.
Yes. Oh, man. This show is shaping up the Walking Dead Pirate Daryl.
Yeah, this is the greatest show we've ever come up with.
It's really, really good. I can't wait to see that. I hope it happens. Listen, as somebody who took Daryl and has been championing for Daryl to take the Lucille death for a while, I now have a lot of incentive to keep him alive.
Yes, because we got to keep hope alive that they're going to do the Pirate Daryl spinoff.
I think so. Anything else from this episode, Jess?
No, I think we're not going to top where we just were.
No, I think so. I think that's right. All right. So how about hashtag Dread Pirate Daryl feels easy. That feels like a good one. Follow Jess. She's on Twitter at Haymaker Hattie. I'm at Round Howard. We'll be back next week talking about the penultimate episode of season 6 of The Walking Dead. I believe it is called East They have ditched the man, so it's not Eastman, but I think that this might be a Morgan-heavy episode.
Oh, dear.
So, you know, we know how that went last time.
If we get a 90-minute episode about goats, I'm going to throw my TV out the window.
No, I don't think so. They have a 90-minute finale coming up. Did you see that?
Okay, well, 90-minute finale I'm okay with.
I'm okay with that, too. But a 90-minute penultimate episode about Morgan going east and finding goats, actually, having said it out loud, I'm good with as well.
All right, if you say so.
Subscribe to what we're doing here on Post Show Recaps. PostShowRecaps.com/TWD, iTunes for Walking Dead stuff, or PostShowRecaps.com/iTunes for our main feed. We are doing a lot on Post Show Recaps right now. We've got Walking Dead, of course. We have Better Call Saul. We just wrapped House of Cards. Rob Cesternino and Zach Brooks were podcasting about that. I am podcasting about Daredevil Season 2 with Kevin Mahadeo. Very fun show. We are posting a new podcast every weekday for every new episode, so check all that stuff out. Other than that, we will be back with another book club next week. Take care, everybody. Talk to you soon. Bye.